Investment Flash.
PIMCO says the credit cycle is rolling over, right as oil traders try to figure out whether the Iran deal is real. Last session's moves are telling us something, and it's not all bullish. Let's get into it.
Good morning, and welcome to Investment Flash, London edition, Monday, June 15th. I'm Marie, alongside Tom and Gerald. Markets are chewing on a ceasefire that hasn't quite convinced ship owners, and a bond giant telling everyone to get out of equities.
And before we get into today's chaos, Gerald, that sell gold miners ETF call from the weekend, already showing its teeth. Commodities are a battlefield.
To be fair, it was an obvious pair trade with your Nvidia buy. Gold miners were overbought, Nvidia oversold. Today's oil noise just confirms we're in a sentiment-driven market.
Right, and that's exactly why the PIMCO call matters. If credit turns, it's not just equities. It's everything correlated.
Okay, but first, oil. USO dropped 7% last week, yet Nikkei Asia says energy prices stay elevated for months. Gerald, is that just geopolitical premium, or is supply really that tight?
Look, the supply side is genuinely tight. Non-OPEC producers are maxed out, and Hormuz reopening is still a wait and see. That flotilla of tankers sitting outside the strait isn't going anywhere until shipowners get clarity. The 7% drop might be premature.
But if the deal does stick and LNG carriers are already tentatively moving, then that oil risk premium deflates fast. Tom, XLE's lagging crude. You'd think that's a buy, but catching up to an 82% spike is a bet that oil stays high, not normalizes.
Right, but XLE is still 9% below its highs, and if energy prices stay elevated for months, those cash flows look ridiculous. Energy stocks haven't priced in a sustained $70-plus oil environment. That's a catch-up trade.
To be fair, the XLE multiple isn't demanding, but the risk is that Hormuz deal signing actually gets those ships moving. Oil dips to 60, and suddenly XLE looks expensive. Nikkei Asia's month's call only works if the deal is half-baked.
Exactly. The shipowner skepticism Bloomberg reported is the tell. Until those flotillas actually transit, the supply risk is real. But the minute they do, it's a supply flood. So it's two-sided. That's why USO down 7% is the market saying deal risk fading. But Nikkei Asia is saying not so fast.
So watch USO, basically. But flipping to natural gas, UNG is 37% below its high. And if LNG starts flowing, that's even more supply. Gerald, you're the bond guy, but isn't that a structural short for gas?
Yeah, I mean, UNG has been a widowmaker for a decade. But if Hormuz opens, more Qatari LNG hits Europe, and gas prices get crushed further. To be fair, that's already priced in, with UNG down 6% year to date. I'd be cautious shorting it here.
Hold on. PIMCO's default warning is the bigger story for portfolios. They're telling you to rotate to fixed income. That means selling SPY and buying LQD. Tom, I know you love equities, but this is PIMCO, not some permabear.
Marie, I hear you, but PIMCO has been cautious on credit for a while. Defaults starting again? What does that even mean? We've had a few bankruptcies, but the economy's still adding jobs. SPY is 3% from all-time high. That doesn't scream credit turn.
The thing is, high-yield spreads are tight, and HYG is near its 52-week high. If defaults pick up from rock-bottom levels, HYG cracks. LQD, on the other hand, is near its lows. The asymmetry is real. PIMCO's call might be early, but it's logical.
Right, and that's the regime shift Gerald always talks about. If credit turns, the equity rally's foundation gets shaky because buybacks and mergers and acquisitions rely on cheap debt. The market is pricing continued expansion, not a default cycle.
Exactly.
100%.
That's the whole story.
Okay, sure, but the bull case is that the Iran deal actually works. Oil normalizes, inflation eases, and the Fed can cut. Then TLT rallies and equities grind higher. In that world, PIMCO is noise.
Tom, that's a lot of ifs. The bond market is already pricing cuts. TLT near 52-week low, so it's already anticipating a soft landing. If defaults rise, it's because the lag effect of higher rates is hitting, and that hurts equities more than bonds.
Look, the most concrete signal today is the oil-gas divergence. USO has a huge risk premium. UNG doesn't. If you think Hormuz reopens, you short USO and go long UNG in a ratio trade. But that's a trader's game, not a portfolio shift.
Fair. But what about the Chinese industrials? JP Morgan is betting Midea can double its market cap by 2030 if it pivots to industrials. That's a structural growth story, not macro noise.
Midea at a forward PE of what? Over 20? For an appliance maker pivoting? I'm suspicious. Analysts painting a Siemens path for a washing machine company. It's like calling your local plumber the next Daimler.
Ah, fair enough. But Gerald, they grew commercial revenue 17.5% last year, and it's now over 25% of total. That's not a story stock. That's earnings transformation. I'd say the overweight makes sense, especially given the Chinese stimulus backdrop.
Yeah, and Hire and Super get the same call. JP Morgan isn't just throwing a dart. They're betting on the entire consumer to industrial shift in Chinese manufacturing.
But hold on, AI regulation is a different beast. The U.S. froze Anthropic's top models, and the FT says it raises doubts about policing AI. So competitors like Google and Microsoft might benefit.
Exactly. Alphabet at 12% below its high. Forward PE under 25. That's not pricing in an AI advantage. If Anthropic is hamstrung, Google Cloud picks up share.
To be fair, regulatory risk is two-sided. If the US starts blocking AI models, it could escalate into a broader tech cold war, hurting all hyperscalers. But Microsoft's partnership with OpenAI might be insulated. So MSFT down 17% year to date does look interesting.
It's the uncertainty that's the killer for the bots ETF. Last session down fractionally, but near 52-week low. If the regulatory landscape gets messier, the whole AI index suffers.
Right.
That's it.
Nailed it.
But that's when you buy the winners. Google and Microsoft have the balance sheets to navigate this. I'd rather own the dominant platforms than the niche AI plays.
Speaking of supply chains, the nickel spat between China and Indonesia, FT says $50 billion of investment threatened. Vale, with a PE under 8 and up 18% year to date, could be a quiet winner.
And Rare Earth Miners, REMX, up 24% year to date, but still 14% below its high. If supply fears mount, that's a play on strategic metals.
But Marie, nickel isn't rare earth. It's battery metal. Vale is the direct play. And with Indonesia cutting supply, the price floor moves up.
To be fair, the FT article is about investment climate, not actual supply disruptions yet. China slamming Indonesia is a warning shot, so it's a risk premium, not a shortage. But Vale's valuation is cheap enough to hold.
All right, let's shift to Europe. Gerald, UniCredit's low-ball bid for Commerzbank is finally gaining traction. UCG last session up 4.1%, forward PE under 9. You're the European bank guy. Is this a win?
Honestly, I'm impressed with Orsel's patience. 21 months. But a low-ball bid means Commerzbank shareholders might not get full value. UCG is the clear winner here, because synergies boost its bottom line, not CBK's standalone story.
Yeah, but CBK was up nearly 3%, so the market thinks there's still upside from a bidding war, or is it just short covering?
Nah, it's bid speculation. But the deal psychology is that low-ball bids cap the target's upside. I'd be more comfortable long UCG, short CBK as a pair trade.
Meanwhile, Revolut is eating legacy banks' lunch in Europe. FT says its model is more suitable for scaling. So KBC, the Belgian bank, could face pressure. Last session up over 3%, but that might be a short opportunity if digital disruption accelerates.
KBC year-to-date flat, near highs. Not screaming sell. But the Revolut story is a slow burn. If fintechs keep gaining deposit share, the incumbent valuations will compress over time.
And speaking of slow burns, UK housing. Deal fall-throughs at the highest since 2008. Taylor Wimpey off 30% year-to-date and near 52-week low. That's a structural problem if rates stay high.
Look, the UK mortgage market is brutal right now. The time kills a deal phrase, that's agents saying buyers are walking away because they can't get financing. Taylor Wimpey's profits could evaporate if completions drop further.
30% down, that's already pricing a recession. But if the Bank of England doesn't cut, the downside might not be done.
Exactly. And UK fraud hitting four-year highs, that's another pressure point. Lloyds could benefit if regulators force tech platforms to share liability. LI up 4.3% last session, so maybe the market is already pricing that.
Hold on, Meta is the target there, down 12.8% year-to-date. If the UK or EU forces tech to pay up for fraud, that's an earnings headwind for platforms reliant on ad revenue.
Meta's already under regulatory pressure everywhere. I'd rather be long Lloyds on that liability shift, but it's a low-growth story.
All right, last one. Bitcoin. CoinDesk says a historical pattern predicts a crash to 48,000. Tom, your crypto bull heart must be broken.
Gerald, buddy, they've been calling Bitcoin's death since it was $100. This pattern every cycle? We've heard that before. But I'll grant you, if it breaks below the 50-week moving average, we could see a flush.
No, but that's exactly my point. The pattern hasn't been tested this cycle. And with macro uncertainty, it could trigger. The most original take of the day, for sure.
Fair, but I'm not selling my coins. It's a technical pattern, not a fundamental breakdown. Meanwhile, I'm looking at that PIMCO call. If credit turns, wouldn't Bitcoin get hit too? Correlated risk asset.
Tom, that's the first time you've admitted Bitcoin might correlate to risk. Have you been reading my bond doom loop research?
No, but the correlation holds in panic. Anyway, the PIMCO note is driving our synthesis. The bull case is oil resolution. The bear case is credit turn. Marie, what's missing?
The U.S. consumer. No data on household health, yet PIMCO's default call rests on consumer weakness. With 4% unemployment, maybe it's fine. But it's a blind spot.
Right. The cleanest expression is the oil-gas spread. USO, 90% above its low. UNG, near its low. If the deal works, you'd short that divergence.
So watch USO, and if those tankers move, the trade is on. Otherwise, energy stocks stay bid. XLE could break out if oil holds 70.
And while we're waiting, don't sleep on LQD. If PIMCO is right, investment-grade bonds are the safest carry trade.
As always, none of this is investment advice, just our thoughts on today's signals.
And if you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
We're back at 9 a.m. New York time for the New York edition. See you then.